This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody out there listening, an important note that you should really consider as we start this week's podcast, and this is a good one. Like, a lot of stuff in this podcast. You should go out and follow the Almost Famous Podcast at @almost_famous_podcast. And if you have any really strong opinions, especially the good ones, like the really kind ones, talking about how amazing Ashley is and just how...
And Ben is.
Yeah, how good Ben is at just like sidekicking this thing. Email us at benandashley@iheartradio.com. Okay, that's a big announcement. Ashley, talk to me. It's been a week since we last spoke. A lot has happened in Bachelor Nation, and we're going to touch on it, including Chris Harrison's official resignation. A lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions on that. Mostly, I know you and I both kind of just texted back and forth. We want to hear from the listeners on their thoughts and opinions. I mean, I think that's really where we're going to understand like what's going on. But also in your life, I know there's some updates. What's going on?
Is there really?
There's got to be. It's been a week.
It's sweet of you to pretend like there's been updates. No, I can't say there is. Ben, has there been any updates in your life?
Well, it's been a big week.
I knew that you would ask me if you had something to say.
Nothing like that exciting. It's just been a big week.
Why?
Well, my dad and mom came out this last week to Denver, Colorado. I also had a miniature board meeting out in Denver for Humanity and Hope United. So I had a full week of people. Like, and obviously having parents isn't as stressful as maybe like having strangers, you know, come visit. But the board meeting went great. We got on the lake. And then my dad came out for a father-son golf tournament. We got to play in that together. Got fourth place, which I'm very proud of.
Out of how many?
I bet there was like 25 teams. So overall, great showing there. We went to Red Rocks. If anybody's listening and they haven't been to Red Rocks, I know it's a bucket list for a lot of people. And if you have been to Red Rocks, you're going, that was one of the coolest things ever. It was one of the first times I'd been around that many people in a long time. So that was kind of fun to people watch again. And I've talked about it before. I am the creepiest people watcher. Like, I can literally I could watch like just people walking and doing whatever they do for like an hour and not like really realize it. We've talked about it when it comes to the mall. When I go shopping at the mall with Jessica or my mom, especially as a kid, like I could sit on those couches and just like kind of doze off and just enjoy seeing so many humans functioning, which is, I find, very creepy, but also very enjoyable.
Okay, so you made me think about the things that I did this week. I went to my first Red Sox game.
Oh,
that
how was it?
Fun. Bachelor Nation was out in full force. I was like, oh, no one's going to know who Jared and I are after this pandemic. We were wrong. It was cool, but we talked a lot about Chris with like all the fans that came up to us.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of disappointed people out there. And then I went to Watch Hill, Rhode Island, twice in 1 week because everybody wants to see where Taylor Swift lives when they come to visit us.
Is that where she lives? Is that her place?
That's like one of her five houses.
Yeah.
But apparently she only stays in this house about 1 week out of the year, which is like the ultimate disappointment that this house sits unoccupied for that long. It is actually the most expensive residence in all of Rhode Island.
So is this one of those celebrity houses? Because my very first trip to LA, all I wanted to do is do one of those star tours where you drive around and you see where people live. Probably another creepy thing. I don't know, guys. I think I saved myself from going on the show. People are like, okay, he's not that weird. But I really love like just seeing the houses of where people like live.
I just like looking at houses in general, famous people's houses.
Yeah.
I just like to drive around and look at them.
Yeah, I think that because I like going to open houses and like seeing like, okay, well, that makes me feel better. Same. Anyways, is this one of the houses you could see from the road or is it kind of like blocked off?
You can see it very well from not the road, but from the ocean.
Oh, well, that's
so if you're on the beach, you look up and you can see the whole backyard, the whole back of the house. I mean, I feel bad like calling her out, but like she wrote a song about this house. It's the Great American Dynasty song on Folklore.
Yeah.
And then she, I mean, like everybody knows, if you just like type in Taylor Swift house, Rhode Island, it comes up.
I'm about to do that. Well, hey, all of you out there listening, thanks for joining us again for the Almost Famous podcast. We're about to dive in deep to the second episode of Katie's season. We're going to talk everything that came from the episode. We're also, again, going to talk about Chris Harrison's departure. And we're going to sit down with Ali Fedotowsky, one of Bachelor Nation's favorite bachelorettes, here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a break and we'll come back with the Almost Famous podcast.
All right, guys, we got Ali Fedotowsky Mano on the show, and she and I have something in common. We both moved to fresh new states after living in LA for years. So, Ali, how's the transition been?
You know, I try to keep obviously always things in perspective. Like my uncle says, and I love this thing that he says, he always says, like, just by being born in this country, you hit the lottery. And I'm like, you know what? That's so true. So every time I'm like getting down on myself, I always remember him saying that. But honestly, it's been a little bit tough. So that's why when you posted recently about, you know, the move to Rhode Island, I was so curious how it's been going for you. Because for me, it's like been a tough transition. Like I thought, oh, moving to Nashville, the country, it's going to be amazing. And it hasn't been as amazing as I thought it could be.
No, I get that. You said that it takes 2 years to fully adjust to a place. I definitely had a freak out moment when I first got here. We were living with my sister-in-law for like 6 weeks. And honestly, liked living with her, but it was just, I could feel a slower pace of life compared to LA. And that was even LA under COVID. Thinking like, am I going to have FOMO? What am I doing here? Am I going to be able to have like all the outlets for like my creative juices and energy and like just events in LA? Like, am I going to miss going to those? Then when summer came around and when Jared and I got our own place, it started to feel way more right. This is an easy place to be in the summer. But for me, it was weird because it's the first time I'm ever considering some place to be like my forever home. Like for 33 years, you know, you go to school, you start your career and you're like, you never know where it's going to take you. And I'm like, no, this is like where we're going to like build a house and put down roots.
Do you have friends?
I do have friends, but this is the like kind of like sad thing is that all of my friends here are Jared's friends and Jared's friends from like life. You know what I mean?
Right.
We'll like go to family get togethers and he'll be so energetic and so happy. And then he'd be like, isn't this just the greatest? I'm like, no, I like love your friends. They're like some of my best friends too. But like, sometimes it makes me sad that like, it's always going to be like his circle is going to be like the primary circle, you know?
Well, this is what I'll say to that. Like, one thing I've done since we've moved to Nashville is like I go on friend dates, and actually Ben, I have you to thank for one of those friend dates,
Didi,
which is one of Ben's friends, Ben and Jess' friends. Didi, yeah, Ben just sent me a text one day and was like, hey, I have friends in the neighborhood that saw you at the farmer's market and I want to connect you. And Ben, we went to dinner with them the other night and like talked for hours and it was the best ever. Like,
today
I'm going to her son's birthday party with my family.
Oh, how is that? I mean, they are the best. Yeah, they take Justin out to dinner. I don't know if you've experienced this with them yet, but they know Nashville food better than any other people in the city. And I can almost promise you that.
Like, oh my God, you have to go to Jack Brown's Burgers. It's my favorite burgers in the entire world.
Well, I am vegetarian, so I don't know.
Darn it. Yeah, but they know their food, Ali. And I'm glad I could do that because, yeah, she reached out to me. It was super sweet and was like, hey, I just saw Ali. I know this is weird and I know probably a lot of people know her, but like she's in my neighborhood and I feel like I would like to reach out to her. And I was like, I think Ali would really appreciate that.
I appreciate it so much because we really have been like putting ourselves out there. Like, this is what I'll say to you, actually being in a new place. And so that you don't feel sort of being an outsider to Jared's lifelong friends is like go on friend dates. Like whether it's somebody who knows you, like the way Ben set me up with Didi or whatever it may be. Like, and I call them friend dates because look, at the end of the day, do you want to, like, it's so much easier just to hang out with Jared's friends, right? Like, that's the easier thing to do. It's comfortable. It's easy. But you have to put yourself out there like you're single. Think of it that you're friend single. And you have to go out on dates. You have to force yourself to date friends.
Yeah.
to find the right, to find the one, you know, the best year. Whoever.
I get it. I get it. I think that definitely when we have kids and like you start like having like mommy hangs, that's when things would probably be really easy. Have you felt like that's helped you like with the kids in school and stuff?
So my kids are only in preschool.
Okay.
And what's been hard about COVID is that there's no social gatherings at the school. Like I've only met my child's teachers like for 3 seconds when they came outside to drop them off in the lobby. Like I haven't seen the school. I don't know what it looks like besides like pictures and, you know, the security cameras they have up, because of COVID. Things have been really strict at the school. I think they're going to start opening things up soon, but like, I don't know any of the other parents. I think that kind of will open up even more when they get in kindergarten, like primary school. But I do think I am going to start meeting more people that way for sure.
Would you say that that is the hardest thing that you've had with the move?
Friends?
Like
not having. Yeah. Yeah. Like when we were in LA, so the reason we moved out of LA is I always knew I didn't want to raise my kids there.
Yeah,
like,
same.
You know, I love Los Angeles for what it has to offer, but and if you grew up in LA, maybe you want to raise your kids in LA because that's what you know, but that's not what I know. Like I know small town, small school, you know, the kids you go to kindergarten with or the kids you graduate high school with. And that's just not what LA is.
Yeah.
And so I knew we didn't want to raise our kids there. So I'm happy that we left, but I had this, like, they went to the best preschool and all my girlfriends and I in LA just happened to have kids at the same time. And they all went to the same preschool, or most of them did. And, you know, my girlfriend lived 2 blocks away and every night came over for wine. So I think I'm just like adjusting to like the COVID transition. And then like the transition of just not knowing that many people. But again, I'm like putting myself out there. I'm going on a lot of friends dates. The birthday party that we're going to with Didi that Ben introduced me to is today. And that's our first birthday party. So I definitely see it like headed in the right direction.
Oh, good. Nice.
Two things I want to touch on with you, Allie, because I think this is a really interesting topic for people listening. Also, one of the things that, you know, Jessica moved to Denver for me.
Oh,
and it's a big deal. And we kind of took this strategy where obviously we're going to have some time with my friends. Like that's going to happen. I hang out with them a lot, but it was always encouraged that like, she doesn't need to be around for that. And that like for a bit, it was kind of like that, hey, you're off on your own, go find what you're looking for. And if it happens to come back full circle with friends of, you know, of the wives or girlfriends of my buddies, great. If not, that's fine too. It's been a really interesting process for her though, because she has a lot of social gatherings. She's dating friends a lot right now.
Aww.
And I think that's such great advice, because it's kind of been that, hey, I'm not going to force you into this, like you have to hang out with these five people and their wives thing. It's kind of opened her up, I think. And she encouraged it like to explore. So it brings me to my question. I say all that, just say thanks for that advice, because I think it is great advice, Allie. You've moved. Ashley, you've moved as well. So maybe the question can be for both of you. What have you found that's important in a city now? I mean, you've gotten comfortable in LA. Now you're in a new city. What is it when, because a lot of people have moved during COVID. A lot of people have switched around. What is it that you're like, what's important to you there outside of friendships that we've already talked about?
Food.
Yeah.
same.
Honestly, food. Like when Kevin and I, my husband, when we were trying to figure out where we wanted to live in Nashville, we picked a restaurant that, one, let me caveat this with, I'm vegetarian and my husband's vegan, and we moved to the South where barbecue is king.
Yeah.
So we knew that there was this one restaurant, True Food, that we really like to go to. There's a bunch in LA, so you guys might have been.
Yeah, they're good.
But so we knew that where that restaurant was, and we kept saying to our realtor, how far is this from True Food? How far is this from True Food? Like, we just wanted to live near a restaurant where we knew we could get food that we could eat and enjoy. But honestly, the food has been one of the hardest transitions for me, because I'm so used to LA food where everything is like pretty healthy. Like you can order like the unhealthiest thing on the menu and like it's still kind of healthy. Like it's kind of crazy. And I didn't really realize that until I moved somewhere where that's not the case.
To the
that's
South.
So funny. I feel the same way. They have no organic fruits and vegetables here at the grocery store. Like even Trader Joe's, like you can't necessarily find like every food, like every piece of produce, like they don't all always have an organic version of it. And just Rhode Island in general, they're not health conscious whatsoever.
And like, here, you know, it's all about like barbecue and biscuits and gravy and butter. And so I will go and order, like Kevin and I went to this restaurant the other day and it was like a new American restaurant, you know, really nice. And we ordered because again, we're vegetarian and there isn't a lot for us to choose on a lot of the menus here. So a lot of times we just order a bunch of sides because that's the only thing we can eat. So we like ordered like the broccolini, the Brussels sprouts, the roasted carrots. And they were all so drenched in sauce and butter and like, even the vegetables are unhealthy. So I've gained like 10 pounds since we moved here, which isn't the end of the world. I'm not like uber focused on that, but like, I am like, oh my gosh, like I have to pay attention to that. So I'd say friends is the most important thing when you move, you know, friends, like, you know, people that you see yourself being friends with. And then the second thing for me is food.
Food. It's great. Well, Allie, I hope this birthday party goes so fantastically. They are great people. You're great people. Even if it doesn't work out, even if this friendship date doesn't continue to happen, it's just nice.
Oh, no, it's happening.
Nice to know you're hanging.
Well, you even just said that they know their food better than anybody. And I'm obsessed with food, too. So it's like a match made in heaven. You gave me the thank you for setting me up on the perfect blind date.
Oh, I love it, Allie. Allie, you've watched Katie's episode, second episode, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it okay if we break down the second episode with you here on the podcast?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to break down Katie Thurston's second episode of her Bachelorette season with the one and only Allie Fedotowsky. Mono. Summer just got crazy with color. Crazy Bunch of Balloons by Zuru are here to help unleash summer fun. It's super easy. By simply attaching the stem to a hose, you can fill and tie 100 water balloons in 60 seconds. Bunch of Balloons are now made from certified recycled plastic. Ashley, here's the thing. A few weeks ago, I was in Austin, Texas with my buddy and his kids. He has three kids, all under the age of 7. And I went out and I actually bought these before I knew Zuru was going to support the podcast.
No way.
They are life-changing. You remember growing up, and so many people out there listening can grow up, and when the little attachment to the faucet that was like you could put a balloon on it easier was like revolutionary.
Yeah, but like I didn't have one of those. I just had to put it on the sink.
Which it breaks all the time.
And it was so hard.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, I am putting my 100% name and Almost Famous's name behind this new invention. It will make you go, why couldn't I think of that? But it also will make balloon fights so much easier, so much more fun, and you have so much more ammunition. Okay, our friends at Zuru Toys just sent us an amazing surprise unboxing experience to prepare us for the ultimate water fight. It's sitting next to me. I'm pumped for it. The neighborhood kids are going to freak out.
All right, guys, are you ready to jump into summer with us with an all-out water balloon fight? Or you can blast away with X-Shot Fast Fill Water Blasters. And for the little ones, they have tons of bubble blowing fun with Love a Bubble. So visit Zuru.com, the Z-U-R-U.com, to find out more about the hottest toys for summer.
Oh, so great.
All right, Allie, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the episode, how do you feel about the state of the franchise currently?
I mean, it's shifting for sure in so many great ways. And then some ways that might feel a little unfamiliar. Like even when I was watching Katie's episode, I didn't watch the first episode, just so you know, I did watch the second one.
Okay.
I always find the first episode's boring.
We agree. But this was actually a good first episode.
Oh no, maybe I need to go back and watch it. But like little things of like, you know, the transitions now is a voice that we don't know, you know, like it makes it almost seem like a different show. And then even, you know, like the girls, Caitlin and Tayshia being there, like it just feels a little bit different. And we've had past contestants come on in the past that sort of be there as a common theme throughout. I think I don't know what's going to happen with the show. I hope it continues. Like, I love the show. I have a dear place in my heart for the show. I just don't know. Like, you guys might know better than me. Do you know why they split up two bachelorettes and did like two short seasons?
We think it's because Michelle wanted to continue teaching over this year and she didn't get out of school until now.
Oh, but gosh, it almost feels like, why wouldn't they just go do a couple episodes from her hometown? That doesn't seem like a real thing to me. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Emily Maynard years ago,
right.
Like they wanted her to be the Bachelorette. And instead of breaking it out in two, they went to her hometown and filmed there. Cause she's like, look, I'm not leaving, you know?
Yeah.
So like the show will bend over backwards for you. So I don't think that could be it. Maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe that's like the excuse, or they're trying to like let out that that's what it is.
COVID could have played a role in that too. Just, you know, because like, can you be around kids? Can you isolate in hometown? I'm with you. It still feels like there's more to it, but like COVID can be the used excuse for everything right now. Like, I don't
totally.
Know, you know?
No, that makes sense.
And then
I guess for me, I just feel like Katie's not like getting her time to shine the way she should.
Mm.
You know, like I feel like having the split season, the short seasons, and don't get me wrong on this. I love Caitlin and Tayshia. I think they bring so much fun to the show, but like, if I was Katie, I would be so intimidated standing next to Caitlin and Tayshia while I'm trying to get these guys to be interested in me. Like when I was the Bachelorette, my biggest fear, like I like to this day, like say like I was the worst dressed Bachelorette. Like I claim that title and like the most like, you know, needing help with my appearance Bachelorette.
No,
but I was so insecure as the Bachelorette. I thought all the guys would be disappointed that I was the Bachelorette. I thought that there's no way I can step in these shoes. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not in shape enough. I'm not whatever it may be. So for me watching it, I was just like, oh my gosh, I would have just been even more insecure if I had these two beautiful women sitting next to me. Like I would, in my mind, I'd keep thinking, I wonder which one of these guys wishes they were on last season of The Bachelorette with Tayshia. You know, like what if they applied for her season? Cause you know, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A guy will apply or somebody will apply and they'll get pushed to the next season because they don't make it. Or even they're quarantined, right? You know how you're quarantined at the beginning of the season for a couple of weeks and some people get let go as extras.
Yeah.
Like what if one of those guys was supposed to be on Claire Tayshia's season. And then, I don't know. Anyway, so I feel kind of for her. And maybe Katie's way more like secure with herself than I am. I think she is, or at least than I was back then. But I just keep thinking that for her.
It's interesting to hear you say that because I think every lead I've talked to after doing it has had similar feelings to like you, to what you had. I mean, I know I did. I just think it's probably very human to feel like, hey, I don't, one, deserve to be here. Two, there's no way 30 people are that interested in me to date me at one time and like stick around and go through this for me. We talked about it last week. We brought up that question because Ashley and I both said, hey, I remember during my season of The Bachelor, like I had girls that I had a little crush on Harrison or they had a little crush on a producer. Now, not that they were ever acting on it, not that it was ever like a thing, that it was kind of a joke, but you're so insecure that like those things start to like poke at you a little bit over time. And so we brought up the question last week, hey, would this feel weird to you? Like, would it be odd to have two beautiful people who were recently on the show standing next to you? Like, does that add a different factor or a different level to the show?
Yeah, I think so for sure. For sure. For all the reasons
the
I just stated,
herself.
Like I would just be like, can you guys like stop looking so pretty next to me? Like, you know, but I mean, Katie does seem very confident in herself. Like I love how she's handled so many things, you know, even from letting, and I'm not going to know any of the guys' names. So I'm just going to sort of like, I feel like at the beginning of the season, I never know. I just like refer to situations.
Exactly same. But,
yeah, like the guy who was like famous, she was like, I'm not letting you go because I hearsay. I'm letting you go because there's no trust already. Like, I thought that was so like intuitive of her to even use those words. Mm-hmm. Like I would have let him go, but I would have like been like, oh, it's because I don't really like you that much. And this guy says you're bad. Bye. You know, instead, she like she found a really smart way to say like, there's already no trust. And I don't know. I appreciate her. And I think that she, you know, she's definitely got some maturity to her. I mean, she showed it to us in last season when she stood up for the bullying in the house.
She mentioned that there's a big group message with a whole bunch of former bachelorettes guiding her along the way. I'm assuming you're in it. How active?
I would be really sad if you just told me about it and I wasn't.
That could have been awkward.
How active is this thread?
I don't know. Let me see what the last thing, I'll tell you the last thing that was texted. Maybe I'll get in trouble for this. Depending on what it says, I will. Hold on. How do I even look? Oh, I look it up. It's under just Bietz. Here it is. Okay. It's just Caitlin Bristow saying, so fun. You're so freaking cute and relatable. It's amazing. So it's very supportive.
Good.
You know, we're always all there for each other. One thing I will say that's been really great about this group, like we text a lot when it's, you know, we welcome Katie into the group here. The last text before that were like, so like June 3rd, June 5th, actually it's kind of more May 22nd, every couple of weeks, I would say it gets like active and then dies down. But I will say like every time someone has a project, like a podcast or something, everybody's like, yeah, what can I post? Give me the link. And so I find like that, like women supporting women is really great. Yeah. So I think we're all just kind of there, like hyping each other up and trying to be supportive and give advice. And it's funny because the group was kind of like, it didn't grow that much for so long. Like you get one new person a year, right? Yeah. But the last like 8 months, we've gotten four new people. Like we got Claire and then Tayshia and then now, you know,
Katie and
yeah, Michelle. It's crazy. It's fun. It's awesome.
Who started the thread? Like who came up with it?
Probably Trista. Okay. I mean, Trista's all about bringing people together. Yeah. I feel like it must
Trista. Yeah, she's mother like her, of the franchise. I decided while watching this episode that I prefer The Bachelorette over The Bachelor. I think it's a more romantic series. And I think that might have something to do with the fact that they decided to do two back to back.
Oh, because people like it more, you think? But aren't the ratings worse?
Yeah. The ratings are worse. But it is because of the, I do believe it's because of the time of the year.
Because it's the summertime, possibly. Real funny thing though, before we go off the text chain. So we've had this text chain for a long time. And then we were texting the crew, like some of the things we text each other are like kind of, you know, crazy and girl talk and whatever. You can imagine we're drinking wine, texting each other. Like we used to Zoom at the beginning of the quarantine and drink wine together. At one point, the text chain had been going on for like a year. And then all of a sudden this person texts the chain and says, I don't know who all of you are. Can you please take me off this group message?
No.
Who was it?
Yes.
No.
And I think it was my fault because I had Caitlin Bristow's old phone number.
Oh, yeah.
I had put that in because we were like putting the group together. Great. And we laughed so hard. Like some person out there in this world knows things about the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise that nobody should know. And
that's
they know hysterical. And they don't even know.
That is amazing, Allie. I hope it's like a super fan who now is hearing this and listens to the podcast and is like, I literally could have just stayed quiet and I could have had all the info.
Oh my gosh, the headlines that person could have sent over to Us Weekly.
So good.
I feel like it's got to be someone that's never seen the show before because they would have known who we were based on what this is we were saying.
Well, Allie, we are going to break down the episode with you. Yes. You are an expert. Ashley always guides us through these episode breakdowns. So I'm going to pass it off to her. Thanks for sticking around for this. You're the best. I'm going to be here for my commentary, but I feel like you can really speak some wisdom into what's going on behind the scenes of the episode.
All right. Let's start with the first group date. We have Christian, Garrett, Trey, Courtney, Mike P, James, Justin, Thomas, Connor B, and Carl. They all get invited on a date and it's pretty known right off the bat that this guy Carl is annoying the guys. And at first I was like, guy's just annoying, right? He's just the annoying guy. He's not gonna be bad. And then we see later in the episode that he's actually like kind of bad. What were the standout moments on this group date for you?
Oh my gosh, I literally just watched the episode an hour ago. And
you're
like,
forgetting already?
Wait, what was the group date?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Okay, what they did was with Heather McDonald, they were supposed to do, they're supposed to like express why they were the greatest lover there.
Of all time.
Right, of all time.
Okay, and Carl's the guy who like went up and just started yelling obscenities. And then later in the episode,
Like had the whiteboards and all that. Yeah, Carl is the one who like started drama at the cocktail party. So
yeah, Carl will be gone soon.
Yeah, Carl will be gone soon or he's going to stick around for drama's sake.
Yeah.
But Katie seems like she's not necessarily doing that whole thing because the way she let Cody go. But that's later in the episode. We'll get there then. Okay, yeah. So let's go. Heather McDonald on stage, talk about how the guys are going to have to prove basically how sexual they are. I immediately am like, okay, so we're getting a date like this every single season. I was the host of the date last time when the girls had to tell Matt you know, read and write erotica. Yeah. To him. And I thought that was like, you know, it was fun. And, you know, sometimes I'm not down for the over-sexualization, but my date was fun. I think you can like really convert it into something romantic. Like they like to pretend like you're going to have to be like super sexual, but then like all these guys and the girls on mine, you can make it sweet. You can make it romantic. And I was really, really feeling for Mike, the virgin, of course.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He
like
handled
literally
it beautifully.
Oh my God. But I was feeling so awkward for him, but way for him to turn an awkward situation into something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, again, like you said earlier, I can't believe that he like she was able to handle it with like such grace and with the perfect word choice. Same with him. You're given like an hour to come up with something. And he came up with that beautiful piece of writing and described it in just like the classiest way. And
I know.
And he just got so much respect from Katie and the other guys. I loved it so much.
I did, too, because I feel like sometimes, too, like whenever there's a like, well, I mean, I feel like sometimes with virginity on the show, like it can be looked at as, I mean, as like non-experienced, right? Or
yeah,
like, oh, he's not going to know what he's doing. But it's almost like the way he did it, it was like, you were like the sexiest man ever. Oh my gosh.
Exactly, right?
You just said are so sexy. And like, when you do get in bed, oh my gosh, you are going to like,
oh my God,
some woman's world. So I feel like you're right. He couldn't have done it better. And I think especially under the circumstances, like, I mean, you know, from experience what it's like being on the show and having that like pressure of like having to talk to somebody about your sexual status.
Well, that's what I was so stressed about is because like when I told Chris Soules, I was not ready to do so. And I felt very uncomfortable given the timing that I was to do so. And yeah.
I'm
thinking
a little bit more time than I think I did it
week three or four. And he's having to do this like the third day he's actually there.
Yeah.
And
he's probably said five words to her. And then here he has to tell her.
Oh, I had so much sympathy for him. And you could see how emotional he was over it and how like not ready he was. And for him to be able to turn it around, and you're right, to just see seem so desirable. We asked Katie last week when she you know, speaking in future tense, we're like, when you find out about his virginity, like, how are you going to take it? Like, is it a turnoff even for somebody like you who, you know, you talk, you know, you're very open about your sex life. And she was like, I was even surprised by my own reaction. And it was a great reaction. I cried twice during this episode.
Yeah. And you know that, oh my gosh, I know already the second time you cried because I was bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to talk about that. But yeah, let's talk about that actually. Can we talk about that? The second time you cried?
Yeah. Because that's the next one. It's the date with Greg.
Of course.
Well, before we skip ahead, just let's talk about how Mike ends up getting the award, but Thomas ends up getting the group date rose, and they had like the steamiest kiss ever where he dragged her on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that, like, I didn't think this was going to be Katie's type. He kind of reminds me of like a Josh Murray, like a Gaston figure.
Oh, yeah.
But she's into him. They talk about how they have this indescribable chemistry that it's just in the air.
No, they definitely seen that. But I don't know that I would call any of the makeout sessions in this hot and steamy. I don't know what it is, if things are like getting forced too soon, but every makeout scene has just seemed extremely forced and awkward to me so far. But it could just be early in the season and they'll get there.
I don't disagree with you. I really don't, because I feel like I'm watching this. This is week one. And you know, I think it was two guys this time said, can I kiss you now? Which is a great thing to do. Very respectable. But like, it was almost because I feel awkward and now I don't know what to do. And so I'm going to ask this because we're still like unfamiliar with each. It wasn't like out of a respect and out of like, it was more like, I just feel awkward right now and I feel like I need to kiss you. So can I? Because that would help this moment.
Exactly. And they all go in really fast and then like try to slow it down. It's just something about it. I don't know. And there's a lot of kind of awkward, quirky guys on the season, which I love. Like, that Michael. Is my type. Awkward, quirky, and I'm in. Like, that's what my husband is. I love awkward, quirky. But, like, it's just, it makes for interesting makeout sessions. You know, I'll just say that.
One note here that I've never brought up, but you bring up a great point, Allie. And Ashley, I'm sure you've experienced this. And I'm sure listeners have all experienced this also. You know what's more awkward than even the initial kiss or approach? Like, you're kissing strangers. It's like a second date, maybe. Hey, all good. You do get what you got to do. But the moment that gets most awkward, and even watching this season, I feel like we're seeing it more, is when the kiss ends and both people are sitting there like, oh, that was good. Yeah, that was
the
great.
Analysis part.
Yeah. It's so cringy to watch. And I remember those moments because you're like, we were kissing because we didn't have anything else to talk about. Now we just kissed and we still don't have anything else to talk about except that this was a kiss. And so we're just going to sit here and analyze it. And then we're hoping somebody comes in and breaks it up so we can go. Like, it, those moments to me, oh, I just, they're awful to watch.
Oh, that is so funny and so true. And so true.
All right, let's skip ahead now to Greg's one-on-one date. The second moment that made Allie and I cry. Greg and Katie end up going on a like camping sort of fishing date. And great, you know, they have good chemistry. We like Greg. You know, we saw him last week. He got the first impression rose. He was the one who said, I'm so awkward. Like, I'm just so nervous. I'm so nervous. And she knows, she told us last week that she gave him the first impression rose because she wanted him to like kind of calm down and to show him like, I really like you. So like, just chill out.
Yeah. Can I tell you something interesting?
Yeah.
Or at least interesting for me when I was watching. So when I was watching their date, I kept thinking something is off.
Oh my God. I was like, he's hiding something. He's not saying something.
Yes. But I thought of it like I was taking it the negative route. I'm like,
oh really?
He's going to break her heart. He's going to break her heart. Like I was so like, oh, this guy's not, he's holding something back. Like I'm like, I almost don't know. Like, is he not as into her as she is into him? And so I was like, I hated it because I just love them together. And I think they're so precious together. I was like, oh, something's going to come out later on in the season. And like, he's going to break her heart. And that's why I was so like emotional in the next scene when we see him open up at dinner and say like, well, I lost my dad too. Like, like I just was a puddle on the floor because I was like, the reason he felt like we felt watching, like he was holding some back is because he was, and for him to like give, I don't know why he chose to wait to tell her about his dad, but in my mind, the reason is, whatever reason it is, it doesn't matter. That's his choice to share that information when he sees fit. But
yeah,
in my mind, he did it because that was her moment to talk about her dad. And like, he gave her that moment. And then later to come, it was just so beautiful and it felt meant to be. And if they end up together, like, I feel like that's their dad setting them up. Like, oh, I could cry just talking about it right
now. That's so sweet. I was looking at his face and it just seemed, I kept thinking to myself, this guy, his dad died too. I feel like his dad died too. Why isn't he saying anything?
You felt that?
Yes.
That's so intuitive of you.
So when he decides to do it at dinner, I wonder if she had a moment where she was like, why didn't you tell me this earlier?
Well, I would say too, like, you know, pain takes time. And even watching his face, I mean, maybe I've missed it getting to know Katie, which, you know, we talked to her last week, Allie, and we're like, we really don't know you. Like at all, like, you know, you weren't around last season much. And then like, even the first episode didn't really highlight you as much as we would want. So this was a shock to me, or new information to me, that she had lost her father. I wonder in that moment, I mean, I know in moments of deep pain, like I wonder if he was so taken back that he's like, I can't just come out and say, oh, me too, because it hurt him so deeply. Like that was still such a fresh wound that he wasn't expecting to have to open back up. And so him taking time for at dinner, like I'm sure Katie gets it too. Like it probably took her weeks to even mentally prepare for the moment she was going to tell somebody on this season that she lost her father.
Yeah.
And so he was like, yeah, one, I mean, I would love to say, because he seems like a good dude, like out of respect, he was like, I'm going to give you your moment to talk about your dad. Who knows? Like in those moments, I don't know if we're like, it takes a very wise human to like process that much in that period of time.
Very wise, yeah.
Maybe he did. Who knows? Or he was just like, I can't yet. I need a moment before I even start talking about it. Because if I do this now, like, I don't know where this goes. Like, I don't know how heavy this comes out. And so It felt like to me he had prepared himself. He was respectful to her. And then he was able to communicate his dad's story in a way that was beautiful in the right time, in the right moment. And this is why maybe this second episode was, I thought, so good, was right away we have two really real moments that that we all love watching. We have Mike having the wisdom and the time to do something really difficult, but also seeing how the guys respected him and responded and how Katie responded. And then we had Greg. These are two moments that like are huge pivot points in their life. And we were able to see it in one episode. That's a big deal. Very authentic, genuine moments.
This is what I'm saying. This is why I left this episode being like, I like The Bachelorette more, because the last time I felt these things was watching Tayshia's season. I loved that they're giving us the romance. They're giving us the depth and the emotion that we asked for. And there was such little drama this episode.
Yeah. And I do like, I think when I chose to be The Bachelorette, I went in with such this thought of like, I was guided here by whatever that is or whatever, you know, something was guiding me to be The Bachelorette. And like, I was there for a reason. I was supposed to meet somebody on there for a reason. I had all these sort of like spiritual and emotional things tied into it. So I can only imagine for Katie, you know, she probably feels a lot of that too. Like, my dad's watching over me. There's a reason I'm here. And like, I don't know. I just think it's so beautiful. And I think if they do end up together, like, they're going to, like, I just think that date is going to be like one of the most special moments and times of their life. Like, they'll look back on that date and be like, our dad set this up for us. That's why we're here. This is one of the most special days of my life. It was so beautiful. I loved every second of it.
Mm. And the fact that both dads took the kids fishing.
I know.
They happened to go fishing.
I know. I did. And they kissed at a toilet.
I was like, that moment was just really funny. You know what it reminded me of? This is ridiculous. You know Wedding Crashers? When he's sitting on the toilet and she comes in? I felt like that's how this was going. Like, this is getting weird. I wonder if they realize that he's still sitting on a toilet. And finally, they made a joke of it, which I'm glad. Because if they wouldn't have said anything, I would be like... That had to be a like, brooch. Like, somebody had to say something. So that was a funny moment.
I mean, it's really foreshadowing for the future, because all the best marriages, especially, you'll find out, Ben, if you guys decide to have kids one day, that throughout your marriage, it's really all talk about like your relationship and poop. That's all you talk about when you're here. It's like love and poop. Like, I can't even tell you how many times Kevin and I ask each other about the kids' bowel movements or whatever. So anyway,
that's hysterical.
Sounds like a blast.
All right, so let's talk about the last group date. It was mud wrestling. Caitlin and Tayshia woke up all the guys early. Mud wrestling, as I've said a zillion times, not my favorite kinds of dates. You don't get to know about the guys. Like, even though like the sex dates can be raunchy, at least you get to see what they do with a situation like this. In this case, they're literally just wrestling in the mud. You don't get to know them. This
my
is
least
when,
favorite date of every season, right? Is the physical violence date.
Same. Oh,
I wish they would just get rid of them. I hate them. Hate them.
Me too. Does nothing.
They did olive oil wrestling. I mean, come on, guys. Let's get a little bit more original on my season. Olive oil wrestling, mud wrestling. It's like all the same.
Was that in Italy?
It wasn't in Italy. I think it was in Turkey.
Turkey. Okay, that makes sense. Olive oil.
Yeah. And I hated it. I remember being like, why are we doing this? Like, this is so pointless. So yeah. I wish they would do away with those.
Okay, so the only thing that really came out of this is that there was some beef between Aaron and Cody, which we saw last week for a split second during like the original cocktail party. And we're like, what the heck is that random spat? And now we learned that the two of them knew each other in San Diego. And Aaron, who seemed like the dramatic one last week, was actually the one in the right. He said last week, I've never liked you since the moment I met you. And we thought it was super dramatic because we're like, you met this guy an hour ago.
Yeah.
But really, they had known each other for a while. And apparently Cody had led on that he was there for the wrong reasons. He's like an unkind dude. And when Aaron got time with Katie because he won the mud wrestling, he let her know about these issues. And did we not love the way that Katie dealt with Cody? Like, she sat him down. He had no good answers to this. Like, he didn't even deny the things that Aaron was saying about him. And then she was like, you know what? Gut feeling says no. Like you said, what did you say? There's no trust. There's no trust. And then she sent him home. And I'm like, can we deal with all conflicts this painlessly?
I know, right? And the thing is, too, that I really liked that she said that, like, if someone had approached me, my face would have said it all. And like his face said nothing. Like your face says you're hiding something. You're prepared for this. Like, so she's right. Like, I mean, she made the right decision. And, you know, like you said, if only all decisions could be that way. But then again, if they all were that way, it wouldn't be The Bachelorette. Because if I could have handled every scenario like that on my season, I would have. But sometimes the drama just has to drag on.
And you know, for Cody, it was really odd to me. I don't think I've ever seen a more emotionless exit. Like he didn't even try to defend himself.
Oh yeah.
Or say, no, this isn't true. Or Katie, I'm really sorry that this is going down this way. Like this isn't what I am feeling. It was just like, okay, well, I hope you find your guy. It's like, no, if somebody is literally calling me out, if somebody is literally, telling the person I'm trying to get to know that I'm not a good dude, like at least I have a rebuttal or at least there's something. It was so nothing. It was just okay, see you later. Bye. What? Like, what just happened? You just, like, are you not mad? Are you, like, upset? Are you at, like, I don't know. That was really odd for me to see.
Really
I
weird.
Completely agree.
It was like he was caught red-handed and was just like, I'm not going to put up a fight.
Yeah.
Well, good for her
also,
then.
Also, he's performing. I think the people sometimes who are that way are the people that are most aware that they're on camera and they're trying not to give a reaction because they don't want that reaction, you know, he's probably boiling up inside to be what people see of him on TV. And he's very aware that people are watching him on TV.
Yeah.
It's when you want to be famous.
Yeah. Good for her. He's gone. You know, and we move on.
Moving on.
As far as the rest of that group date, I felt like her moment with Andrew, the football player from overseas, definitely stood out the most. He's so sweet.
I love him. Yeah. He seems so great. Something about him, like he just has that like super friendly face. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
He smiles, I'm like, oh, I like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like if, you know, we'll see what happens with their relationship. I mean, in my mind, it's Greg, but like, then again, would it be Greg? Like
so obvious at this point.
So obvious at this point, but it's almost like they have to be so obvious at this point. How do you take away that beautiful connection that they had and, you know, story that they had shared together? But it feels like it has to be Greg. If not, Greg's like in the top two. So whether or not Andrew makes it to the end or not, like, I feel like he's the type of person that like will stay in the franchise. Like, I hope that he's like on Paradise one season. Like, he just seems like a really nice, friendly face.
Could be this season.
I really love to watch Andrew's reactions too. Like, even when the drama's going on at the end of the night with Carl, I know I'm skipping ahead and we'll get to that in a bit. But just Andrew's just facial expressions, like you can tell what's like how he's feeling, what's going on in the room when they flash past him. And I just love that. I'm like, you're feeling every moment. You're as surprised and shocked as we are. Like, I enjoy watching his commentary just by seeing how he reacts. He's very animated, I guess I would say.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Well, let's get to the Carl drama, because that's really all we have left as a standout moment of the episode. It's at the cocktail party. Everything seems to be like pretty settled, you know, like she got rid of Cody, who seemed to be the only guy that was there for the wrong reasons. She's feeling good about her group. And then Carl comes up to her and says the vaguest I've ever heard. He's like, by the way, he wasn't the only one that's not here for the wrong reasons. There are others. And she's like, but who? And he's like, well, I'm not going to name names. Okay, well, what are the examples? What do they do? Oh, I don't have examples. It's like, Katie, he doesn't have anything. He's literally just starting drama. I felt so bad that she took it to heart so much because, you know, especially after she pulls Aaron aside and asks Aaron, like, is there anyone else? Like, I trusted you the one time. Can you tell me again? And he's like, no, I don't know.
I was honestly surprised how she took it, to be honest with you.
Me just too. Because
I find that Katie just seems like so strong, right? Like emotionally strong and just like very level-headed. And like, just like, I've always seen her that way. So when she got so emotional about that, what that told me as a viewer and as someone who's been in her shoes is that like, there's some insecurity there.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying, I feel like I maybe would have handled it that way if I were in her shoes because of the insecurity of worrying about if people are there for her, if people like her, all of that. I think it was less about what he said and more about her like overall feelings on being the Bachelorette, because that's how I was. Like, I felt that way. But I think he, why do I think he did it? I mean, that's the question. Why did he do it? Right. And I think that he did it because he wants the screen time.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can come up with in my head of why he would do that, like, why would he just, he doesn't know her enough to just want to hurt her, right? Like, to want to hurt somebody like that, you got to know them more. Like, you know, it's vicious and vindictive. But so I feel like he just did it because he knew that, like, that would get his face on camera.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. But
can and we, even when the guys confront. For, I mean, he's a motivational speaker. Oh, like, can we
right.
stop? Can we stop for a second and just sit on that? Because I kept watching this and watching this thing play out. And when originally, you know, when he did his package, it was like, oh, he's a motivational speaker. This will be interesting to see what wisdom and encouragement and support he brings into the house, because that's what you would associate with motivational speaking, I would think. So my question, and this is where I want to throw it to listeners, has anybody ever heard Carl speak, or does anybody know what he speaks on? When he does this for a career, but this felt so opposite. And I was trying to think of a bigger word for opposite, but I'm not that smart right now. So opposite.
That's a good word.
Yeah, that's a good word of what you would expect from a motivational speaker. Right?
Can we talk about what a motivational speaker does? Because don't they usually have really full, healthy careers and experience to be able to speak about things to inspire people and motivate people about? How do you just be a motivational speaker as like a 20 something who we don't know what you've accomplished?
Well, maybe he does. Maybe he has more of a story to his name than we've seen, but I'm ready to see it now. Like he's so much of a character. He's caused so much drama. Like, what does Carl do? One.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, a motivational speaker is someone that like uses sort of feeling is like the way that they lead, right? Like, whether it's like using the feelings that you have to sort of motivate your life, the positive feelings to take you in a certain direction, do things. Like, whenever I hear a motivational speaker that I feel like is really good, they like kind of pull at my heartstrings or just my soul, like to lead me a certain way. Whereas I almost feel like he is the, like you said, Ben, the opposite.
Antithesis.
Of that.
Antithesis is what the word I was
antithesis,
looking for. Yep,
exactly.
That was it.
Yes. Yay, Ashley. So I feel like he is like doing the opposite in the sense that he is using his words to take a very emotional experience like The Bachelorette, where it's all about finding love, tugging at your soul, your heartstrings, and he's making it into a competition and winning. Then he's taking things about people. He should be talking about the guys in the house in such positive ways. Everyone's here trying to find love, go on their path. That's what a motivational speaker would do. And instead he's trying to cut the guys down. He's doing it all opposite. I don't know how that's his job. I can't believe he actually makes money doing that.
But
I mean, we got to find out how successful he is.
Well, that's it. We got to find out a lot more.
He could have spoken at one conference in front of 10 people and called himself a motivational speaker. You know, this is a Bachelor title.
But at the same time, it just because, and I say all this to bring up the point, you said he wants screen time. Okay, that's some people's pursuit, right? You want screen time. That's not, you know, that's not unknown when it comes to casting the franchise. They usually get sorted out pretty well sometimes. But for him, if you were wanting screen time, you're walking into this experience, you would think in your mind, you'd be like, I want screen time to help my career, but like, I will not be like, but I don't want that screen time. Like, I don't want the screen time of the person causing the drama. I don't want the screen time of hurting Katie. Like, that's where this whole thing got weird to me. And I was like, he's a motivational speaker. And yet he's just like, kind of like poking holes that don't seem healthy.
Everyone listening has got to look him up, do some little internet digging and tell us if he's actually a motivational speaker. Because yes. My gut is he's not.
You guys, the twist here is that he's the one who is there for the wrong reasons.
Ooh, yeah, exactly.
Big twist, Ash. That's a good point. That's a good point.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the episode. Do you have any other comments, Allie, that you think we forgot?
I love this episode. I mean, I'll say it. I think it was an enjoyable episode to watch. I was intrigued like 99% of the time. And for episode two, I thought it started a lot of good storylines that we missed with Matt's season. I think with Matt's season, we're always waiting to kind of be like connected to the cast and we're kind of waiting for those storylines to start. And it never really happened until the very end, kind of. But it's episode two and I feel very connected to these cast members.
Same. We didn't even talk about Connor B. And he is somebody that we really feel connected to. The cat.
The cat. The cat. Well, Ali Fedotowsky, before you go, we do want to bring up one thing. First off, today marks a really big day, I think, for you and a lot of people who are going to be helped by you. Today, E! Released an article talking about you coming out and talking about a blood disorder that you have and that you've been getting treatment for, one that's not uncommon for many probably. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that like someone wrote about it. I'm anemic, which I know is very, very common. I've just been super, super tired lately, like weirdly tired. And I couldn't figure out why. So I went to my doctor and they just ran a bunch of blood work. And my doctor was like, your ferritin levels, and ferritin is essentially the like in what's in your body that helps your body store iron. She's like, is almost zero. She's like, I'm surprised you're walking. Like, you must be so tired. So I'm excited about it. I'm going to go get a IV full of iron. I do it once next week and then once the week after to see how it makes me feel. And hopefully I'll just get all my energy back.
That's amazing.
I'm excited about it.
So can you develop anemia? I guess, yeah.
I don't know. I remember like years ago, like I've always been the type of person that's just not very like in tune. Like I never had a primary care doctor. Like I go to the doctor because like something really hurts. Like I don't like keep up with my health over the years. But I do remember years ago, a doctor saying to me, like after getting some sort of test done, maybe like 15 years ago, saying like, you're on the verge of it being anemic. You should watch out for that. And I was like, okay, whatever. And just never thought of it again. So now, yeah, I mean, I just got blood work done because I was just so, so, so tired in like a way that I'm like, this feels not normal that I'm so tired. Like I was thinking something was really wrong with me. I was so tired. You know, and then I like got this blood test done through the mail that said I had inflammation in my body. And I was like, oh my gosh, inflammation, like this C word went through my brain. You know what I mean? Thankfully it's not that anything like that, but that's kind of like what I was feeling. So to find out I'm anemic is a relief because I know I can like take iron, get the things, and like hopefully increase my energy.
You've always been somebody that's been open and vulnerable, sharing your stories and your health history and everything going on in your life. We appreciate it here. I know many people appreciate it. So even though you didn't know there was an article written, there was. You can check it out. You can Google your name right now. But it is helpful for many. And so we thank you for that. Ali Fedotowsky, Mono, you are the best. Have a great time tonight. Enjoy the party. Tell everybody I said hello and that Ashley said hello because Dee Dee does listen to the Almost Famous podcast. She's a great supporter. So she'll hear this.
Oh, she does. Yes. So sweet. Her name on here. I love that.
So, Ali, thank you so much for joining us.
See you, Ali.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
It's now time for one of the most listened to segments on the Almost Famous podcast. It is Bachelor Hot Topics, everything that's happened this week in Bachelor Nation. And obviously, there has been a lot of reactions to Chris Harrison's departure. We're going to get into that in just a second. But also, let's talk for a second. We kind of mentioned it last week, but we have more clarity this week on the Bachelor in Paradise hosts. Before we talk about Chris Harrison officially stepping away, we did have the announcement of four new hosts for Bachelor in Paradise. Some of Bachelor Nation had some mixed reviews, specifically Tanner Tolbert, who I know you're close with and have probably been able to kind of process with. Ashley, before we dive into the headlines of it all, what are your thoughts on these four hosts?
Well, I love Lance Bass and I love David Spade.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I consider Lance a friend, and then David Spade, I've had lunch with Amy, and I think he's hilarious.
Yeah,
and I actually think, he'll be super entertaining. I understand where Tanner's coming from. Let's talk about what Tanner said on his Instagram last week. He said the franchise's hosting decisions have been a train wreck. He doesn't really like the fact that, like American Idol, I would say, did once Simon left, they kind of tried to stunt cast, right? It's like Jennifer Lopez and Ellen DeGeneres. Like, wow, huge names are going to try to fill in for Simon. But sometimes people, you know, especially when they've been with a franchise since the very beginning and have been such a figurehead for them, they're like irreplaceable. So I think I know what Tanner's talking about here when it's just like calls it a circus. It's because there's so many people that they're just like throwing at us to entertain us possibly. But I think what Tanner is also saying is that he thinks that the show is going to become more about the, well, in the American Idol case, the judges, right? So they're going to be, they're making Bachelor in Paradise more about the hosts and they're making it about the contestants, and people watch for the contestants.
Let's talk about this for a bit. It comes down to the thing we've talked about so many times on this podcast, and it's the ultimate question of the franchise. Why do people watch? Like, why has this thing been successful for...
Because of the love stories.
Well, that's our assumption.
And the drama.
But could it be that the franchise, who studies this data, who has been, some people have worked there for the 19 years it's been going on, do they know differently? Are they saying, no, people are watching this not just for the love stories, probably maybe not even for the love stories at all, but more for the character development, the comfort, I think is a big deal for the show. And
you get the comfort from the consistency that was Harrison.
I think you do. And so now this does seem like a drastic switch. I get Tanner's concern and others' concern where it's like, we're losing all familiarity with the franchise when we do these hosts. Right. The other question I have in this, and I'm not saying any of these hosts are bad. I really don't know them as hosts. Like, Lance Bass, I know him from the show. He's great. Little John, I've seen him on the show, but
he was on Becca's season.
Yeah. David Spade, you're telling me he's going to be great. Titus, I think he's funny. I've always enjoyed him. But we have to ask the question here, if they're going to diversify, if they're going to go as far as, replacing with not just one host, but four, why isn't there a woman involved here?
Isn't that bizarre? Well, I mean, Sarah Hyland.
But she's not on this list. Right now, we don't really know Wells and Sarah's roles or if they're going to be there 1 week or if they're there consistently. Let's say right now, just for the sake of this conversation, we don't know what Sarah's role is going to be here. If they're going to add four new hosts, how is there not a woman involved? I mean, we're on this conversation right now and they have a moment where they can really change things up. There's not one. That's weird to me.
It's personally weird.
Especially for Paradise. Yeah. I get it for Bachelorette, right? You have Caitlin and Tayshia there. They're guides, they're mentors. They can sit beside the Bachelorette and relate on a lot of levels. Maybe even go as far as saying on some levels that Chris Harrison couldn't, right? When it comes to being a woman and the power that brings and the leadership you need for that. But here for Paradise, I mean, it's very clear that like a woman should be involved, I think. I mean, it just feels like it fits and there's not.
I totally agree. Let's read this Tanner quote. He says, I think the franchise needs to figure their shit out and figure it out quick, because I think the show is on a slippery slope right now. And as a fan of the show, first and foremost, I want to see it keep going. But with all the host drama, it's just starting to get ridiculous. The host doesn't need to be the star of the show. I don't need to see commentary on every little thing, and not every little thing needs to be a joke. And I agree.
Well, so again, and as a fan of the show myself, as a fan of a lot of people that work on the show, as somebody personally who wants to see this show continue, I am now on the edge of my seat to see what Paradise looks like. And we're going to get into a bit on a conversation about the Bachelorette ratings dropping drastically this week. And
that totally relates.
And so we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. It does relate. And there's a lot of things that we can assume are a part of it. But all in here, if we're all honest with ourselves, every fan of the show right now, I think, would agree with Tanner. They might not agree that they don't like the hosting choices, but the show right now needs to figure stuff out. It is on a slippery slope. It's being shown in the data. And my question for people who are listening and for you, Ashley, is, does these four hosts that they just announced for Paradise, does it help or hurt the show?
You're asking me? It's not anything personal towards the hosts. I can't wait to see Lance host. I think we needed a more consistency, especially right after Harrison leaves, to have four hosts. I think just gonna like kind of like confuse people about the theme of the show. Like, what's the point here?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things for me, Ashley, in all these years is I watch this show because I'm familiar with it. And I enjoy seeing the process. I like watching Paradise because I'm familiar with it. It's obviously a little more dramatic. It's a little bit more unpredictable. There's weird stuff that happens. New people are showing up every week. I'm feeling, even as somebody that's been a part of the show, I'm feeling less and less like familiar with it. And that goes one of two ways. Either I'm feeling that and that's a good thing because it's moving beyond me and it's entering in a whole new season and it's a whole new franchise and it's going to take on a whole new look and it's going to be very successful in this way, or it's not going to work. Now, to close this thought, The Bachelor has always prized themselves on being that kind of stand-up reality show, right? It's been around for a long time. I remember back in the day, they kind of said, hey, we have the secret sauce. Like, our bread and butter is the format, and it works, and it tells a story. You know, that's what's made it stand out among so many other reality shows that have tried to come out and be successful. I feel like here, I'm feeling like it's slipping back into what other shows are doing, and not necessarily still trying to be this franchise that we've known and loved for so long.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't, like, it goes back to, not to bring up my former other favorite show, but American Idol. It's like sometimes like a show peaks and then one of its stars is no longer there. Like one of the foundation pieces of the foundation is no longer there, and they keep they try to reinvent it. They try to like make it sparkly with like big names and twists and all that, and it just can't recover from that loss.
So yeah, I guess the storyline here for this franchise, and again, we're going to get into the ratings drops in a bit, we're going to get into Chris Harrison's resignation and talk more detailed about that. But the big question now that I think people are going to be watching is, does this work? And do people tune in? And does this seem to bring in the viewership? The show might be funnier, but is that what we want? Or do we want love stories?
Another thing that I think is really interesting about Paradise is that there are so many big cast stars that we expected to see there who are still very active on social media and doing interviews. So it looks like they didn't show up. A lot. Like, we're talking, like, I don't know that you and I thought that Maddie would go, but like Maddie, Hannah Ann, Victoria Fuller, Kelly Flanagan, Mike Johnson, they're all around. They're on social media.
Feels weird, Ashley.
Feels weird.
It feels weird. Well, hey, entering in a new season, we're going to be talking about a lot more here on the podcast. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk ratings drops. What does that mean for the franchise? Is there a recovery in process? We're going to get your opinions on that. And then also we're going to talk Chris Harrison's resignation and everything we know about that next step and what it looks like for The Bachelor moving forward. But we'll be back with the Almost Famous podcast. Well, we promised it right before the break, and now it's time to talk about it. Chris Harrison has officially resigned from the Bachelor franchise. He did get a payout for his time on the show. There's rumors going around from everywhere from $50 million to $25 million to $10 million. Like, nobody really knows, but it's some millions. Ashley, obviously, some people believe that he was already ready to leave the show. And some people feel like this came out of nowhere and it was as a result of just, you know, kind of what happened over the last year. Do you have any insight into like this exit now? Like, what was the timing? I have a feeling, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
I mean, I think it has everything to do with what happened over the winter with the interview. And I don't think that's what the majority of fans wanted. I don't think a lot of people wanted to see him leave. I'd venture to even say that, like, based on what I see on social media and what I see from people who come up to me and just say hi, you know, because they're Bachelor fans, that like 95% of people just did not want to see him leave. I think there was lots of ways that they could have dealt with, you know, what happened. You know, he did a lot of learning, a lot of growing. I think there was a way that they could have shown that on the show. I am sad that this is how it's gone down. Who would have thought, right?
My thoughts are this, and obviously, as a white male, the weight of this doesn't really carry too much, but I feel like we just don't have not a conclusion, but I feel like there was an interview that went poorly. to say the least. And I think most people would say, yeah, this wasn't a good interview. There were some things said that we needed clarity on. But now we don't get any clarity on it. Like, mm-hmm. now there's no, Chris is just gone. And it just feels like, hey, this was a moment, especially knowing Chris and knowing how hard he was working, knowing the people he surrounded himself with, knowing the questions he was asking, knowing what his heart and desire was to learn and to figure out like how these words that he said hurt and how he could have done better. I just feel like now we don't get that on the show. And I think all the people, all the viewers and Chris himself kind of, in a sense, like, I mean, maybe just like we want it. Maybe it feels like he was a part of our living rooms and our televisions for so long that it feels like, if that is the path he was on, like, why aren't we getting it? And I don't know why it just abruptly ended without even an interview on After the Final Rose or even a moment on the franchise. It just feels like they just said, oh, this was bad. This wasn't good. All right, let's totally separate from it. It's like, does that fix the thing? Like, is that a good move for the show? I don't know.
That's not a good growth move. It doesn't, it just shows that like when you, it just shows that there's not a lot of room to learn sometimes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Chris is a friend and we've talked about it many times and, you know, I know this situation, was bad for multiple different angles, but it also feels like, hey, Chris has been around and supported all of us. You know, he has supported every person that's gone on this franchise as best he could and to the capacity that he could in incredible ways. And I just don't feel, you know, now it's just done and it feels odd. But it's happened. And that's the truth of it all. And so now we talk about, like, what is this new season for The Bachelor? Is it a good season? How is The Bachelor going to change? And how are they going to evolve to not only learn from what happened with Chris, but also keep viewers interested without Chris? That's a big deal now.
Okay, so let's go on to that headline. The ratings were down significantly for Katie's premiere episode. Okay, so 3.7 million in total viewed this. In comparison, Matt's season had 5.2 million, but The Bachelorette's always down from The Bachelor. And Claire's season, Claire's season back in October started with 5 million total watchers.
So ratings are down. And so this is a conversation that that we want to have with the listeners. And so please email us. But as the Bachelor franchise enters into this new era, and people, we have a quote here. I'll just pull this one out from Tyler Cameron saying he's excited for this new season, kind of the fresh faces that will enter in to the franchise as hosts and what that can mean for the franchise. Well, are we getting eerily close to not even having the show any longer? Because from TV Guide, it's on the chopping block at ABC right now. Like, so they're making these big changes.
Did you see that?
Yeah. So they're making these big changes and people are saying, oh, this is great for the show. This is good for the franchise. But like, what happens when the franchise doesn't exist? I mean, are people good with that? Is that kind of where people want it to go? Or is that why people aren't watching? They're saying this thing's done. Like, not even just because, not without Chris, the show's run its course.
Well, Ben, how much do you think of the ratings drop had to do with people saying, like, I don't want to watch the show because Chris isn't part of it, and because I think that they didn't, it wasn't dealt with properly?
I don't know if that would be the reason. I think fans of the show are fans of the show.
I don't know. I know that people say, like, I'm not going to watch, and then they always watch.
Yeah.
But if you read the comments under these articles online, like, so many people are saying, I'm not watching because of Chris. And then you see the ratings drop, and you're like, oh, maybe there is a correlation.
Well, and I also wonder, kind of like we were talking about earlier, like, why do people watch a show? Is it the love stories? Because if that's the case, it doesn't really matter if Chris is there or not. Is it the drama? Is it the drama of it all? Well, that doesn't really matter if Chris is there or not. Is it the comfort? Is it the comfort? And being uncomfortable isn't always bad. Like, you know, changing and evolving and growing is not bad. Mm-hmm. But were people watching this because they had it a part of their lives for the last 20 years, and now they're saying it's time to give it up? Like, it's just like, I'm done watching it because I've I've seen enough. I've been a part of it enough. I think the Chris thing has something to do with it. I think he has his like following. But I don't think you can attribute almost half of the viewership to Chris being gone. I think that would be a big stretch, especially because over the last few years, we've seen less and less of Chris on the show anyways.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll continue to see like how this season and Paradise and Michelle, and then we'll be able to make like some more deductions.
It's an interesting topic. And it also is a topic around like, how do we grow from mistakes? And then like, how do we allow others to grow? And was this the right or wrong decision? So we want to hear from you. But I mean, I'll go as far as to say like, and I said on my Instagram, Chris has been really good to me. Now, I don't know if that's everybody's experience. I can't speak for everybody, but I am going to miss watching him on the show. Mostly not only because like it felt like my coach. It's like, you know, when your football coach or basketball coach in high school retires 10 years after you're out of high school, you don't feel connected to the high school as much anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be so weird for him, like, not to start each season with, like, his hands clasped, turning on the wet driveway. Like, we've seen the last of that. That's so bizarre to me.
It's weird. Well, that's a big announcement. Hey, we have some really great announcements to talk about on headlines. We're going to roll through here. Some really great things to celebrate. But to close that topic, we are, I guess, Ashley and I both talked offline. We're very intrigued to see what The Bachelor does when it comes to the hosts and when it comes to the leadership of the show and the consistency of the show moving forward. But here's some really cool things that have happened from the show that we need to celebrate. Lauren Burnham gives birth, welcomes her and Ari Leyendyke Jr.'s twin son and daughter. This according to Us.
Yay. Happy birthday, baby twins.
So incredible.
Ari said that mama and babies are doing great. Everything went smoothly and they're spending time cherishing these moments. They thank all of you guys for your support. It's so great. So great, man. It feels like just yesterday she announced she was pregnant. Now they have three kids.
It's absolutely wild. And I've said this before, but like my grandma and my mother and my aunt, they love following Ari and Lauren's story. Like they just are like really into that family and watching them grow and function. It's pretty cool. Well, another big announcement that I, you know, personally really want to say here for myself and for Ashley and for the podcast, but mostly for myself, I'm really excited for Lauren Bushnell, who I obviously know well, gives birth, welcomes first child with husband Chris Lane. This according to Us Weekly, and we're so pumped for them. She's going to be a great mom, and just really excited to make that announcement.
Yeah. Remember last week I ended the podcast by saying I think we're going to have some births to report on next week. Well, we were right. All of the pregnant Bachelor ladies gave birth.
That's wild.
Lauren and Chris's baby boy is named Dutton Walker Lane. He was 9 pounds.
That's a big baby.
And I know.
That's a big baby.
And Lauren wrote, "Your dad and I can't get enough of all 9 pounds of you. Now back to baby cuddles and praising Jesus over and over again for this little miracle." That's so sweet.
Well, the Laurens had their baby this week. You were right, Ashley. You predicted it. Well, final headline of the day. Bachelor alum Becca Martinez celebrates college graduation. Her quote is, "I freaking did it." This according to People. Ashley, how do we celebrate?
Oh, we're so happy for Becca. It took her 8 years to graduate college, but for good reason. She did The Bachelor in between that. She had two kids. She said she started at UC Irvine in 2013, fresh out of high school. She had plans to be an elementary teacher or an art teacher. She dropped out in 2015, but here we are, finally, 2021. She said she's gained two babies along the way, and she's so darn proud.
So cool. Well, that's it for the Almost Famous podcast today. It's been a pleasure talking with you all. Thank you, Allie Fedotowsky, for coming on the podcast. Thank you all for listening. Please write in your thoughts and opinions on all of the things we talked about today. You can email us at benandashley@iheartradio.com.
And guys, we do want to hear your opinions about Chris Harrison's departure. We haven't read emails in a while, and I think it'll be a great time to do that next week.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, With all that being said, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Later.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.